Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Feel like in the last week we have moved along the spectrum to is the college football season going to happen? To it is going to happen, but who's going to be in the stadium? Aaron Fentress of The Athletic covers all things football, whether it be college football at Oregon or Oregon State or the Seahawks or the NFL. He's all over everything. Fentress, let's start with fans in the stadium. How weird will that be, NFL, college, to have, you know, 12,000 fans in the stadium maybe for a game?
That will be bizarre, won't it? I mean, it'll look like a, you know, Division II game, which will be bizarre to see. I do think TV-wise, they can probably get around the impact of it. Like, I think they'll probably be creative with how they show it, so it doesn't look as bad. But I do think that as long as they have, you know, a decent size group, like you said, 12,000, that it'll still be interesting to watch from a TV perspective. Going to a game like that, I think, would be more bizarre.
In the media, like, what's the press box going to look like? Are we all going to be spaced out?
Man, they're going to have to limit credentials because I'm not sitting in a cluster of reporters for a while until we know what's going on. I don't trust any of these guys. I don't know where they've been.
Yeah, that's
an interesting. what you really do, though, is you put the media in the stands, too.
Yeah, I could do that.
Right?
Yeah.
It's on the stands like they do at the Super Bowl. I remember you and I covered the Super Bowl together, and you, being John Canzano, got to go in the press box, and I had to go sit in the auxiliary out in the stands. That was the Denver Seahawks Super Bowl, and it was like 30 degrees. Remember that?
I was cozy like, in that press box.
I know, and I was freezing my tail off, and the game was horrible. But no, you can put media in the stands. That way you can spread us all out.
Aaron, let me ask you, because, you know, I've got tickets to both Oregon and Oregon State games, and every once in a while my wife will go and bring the kids. I know she's not bringing them to the stadium next season. She's going to say, no, not worth it. We'll stay home. I think if I were a fan, I would probably stay home. I'm not judging people who say I want to be at the stadium, but what would you do for your family?
Oh, we wouldn't go anywhere near a stadium. No way. My wife's a pharmacist. I mean, she's not a doctor, but she's a pharmacist. She's in the medical field. She talks to doctors all the time, and she is just amazed at some of these pool parties we're seeing, people at beaches we're seeing. And at a beach, I mean, you know, it's probably not a high probability you're going to catch it. Maybe, who knows? I don't know. I'm not a doctor or scientist here. But she's just amazed at how many people are really not taking this seriously. And I sort of feel like part of me feels like they're just being voluntary guinea pigs for the rest of us.
Right.
I hope they're all right. I hope it's not that big a deal. Everyone's making too much of it. Oh, the media is just, you know, stoking fear, all that nonsense. You and I work in the media. We know how the media works. Yeah, there's some media that's playing on the fear, but most of the responsible media, they're just doing their job. So I hope they're right, and I hope all the scientists are wrong. But I feel like they're volunteering to go out there and test it for us. And if there isn't a resurgence, if there isn't another wave this fall, despite what's going on, then maybe more and more people will feel safer going into stadiums. So we'll see.
Aaron Fentress of The Athletic is our guest. Now, Oregon has this game with Ohio State. We have all been talking about it. We're all focused on it. Kind of look over that North Dakota State game. Which of those two games should Oregon be more worried about?
Oh, Ohio State, by far. Do you really think they can lose to North Dakota?
Here's the problem. Here's the question I have. New quarterback, new coordinator on offense, season opening game against a program that is going to be that game is circled on North Dakota State's calendar. They're getting paid to come into Autzen. This would be a great showcase game for the Bison. It's a little dicey. I think Oregon handles them if Oregon shows up to play, but we've all seen openers and new coordinators and quarterbacks, and, you know, what's that going to look like? And look, they lose to Ohio State. we all go, okay, that's Ohio State. They lose to North Dakota right. State, kind of derails your season.
Okay, so if I'm to believe they can lose to North Dakota State, then I'm saying there's no way in hell they're going to beat Ohio State, to me. I do think North Dakota is kind of a cute little trendy, oh, they can pull off the upset. But if Oregon's defense was suspect, like let's say this was the 2015 team that Eastern Washington almost beat because Oregon's defense couldn't cover anybody. I think Cooper Kupp had 390,000 yards that day or something like that. Right. Then I would say, okay, because now North Dakota could just run the ball down your throat, control the clock. They could do to you what Stanford used to try and do back in the day, right? But Oregon's defense is going to be really, really good again. So I think at the very least, they're going to keep North Dakota State from putting up a tons of points. And then on offense, the athletic difference is just so much greater that unless Tyler Shuck or the transfer, is it Brown, Anthony Brown? Unless they're incompetent, which I know for a fact already from watching several games that Brown played at BC, that he's not incompetent, they're going to get the ball to their athletes, and those athletes are going to be too quick, too fast in space for North Dakota to hang. So I can't imagine the Ducks losing that game.
I keep coming back to that. I think you're right on the defense, because I think the strength of this team is going to be, hey, Penei Sewell in that offensive line, but look at the defense.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the defense should have another stellar year. I mean, that's a pretty stacked group. They did lose Dye. That was by far the best player they lost, but that secondary, man, woo, that thing is loaded, and the front seven should be strong as well again.
We're talking to Aaron Fentress of The Athletic. Oregon State, I don't want to ignore them. They got Oklahoma State, they got Colorado State. This is a team that we all expect can be bowl eligible. Simply being bowl eligible this next season, is that the end-all be-all for Jonathan Smith? I mean, that goal up on the bulletin board, and that's it?
I think that's the next step. I think that's what you shoot for. I mean, bowl eligible can mean anything from 6 to 12 wins, right? So yeah. You can, once you get to 6, hey, you can go for 7, 8, 9. But I think at the very least, you want to take that next step and get that 6, you know, and then build from there. You know, but the question is, who's going to be the quarterback? You know better than I. I honestly have not followed. I mean, there wasn't really a spring battle, so who knows, right? But replacing Luton is going to be the key for them, obviously.
Yeah, and I think they will take that next step. Tristan Jebbia being, you know, the guy who started the Civil War, I think is their guy. I think he'll, you know, I think given the fact that they didn't get a spring, it probably benefits him versus the competition. And I think he'll be the guy moving forward. Let's turn the focus to the NFL. Let's start with Tom Brady. What's going to happen with Tom Brady in Tampa? Just a cute little story, nice storyline, or are they contenders?
I think they're contenders. Brady clearly is in decline. I think that was obvious last year just in some of the throws. He wasn't as elite with as he used to be. And I think he should have been where he is now when he was like 37, 38. He wasn't superhuman. But he has so many more weapons at his disposal in Tampa than he did last year. Jameis Winston, for all his faults, he throws too many picks. It's mind-boggling how many picks he threw. One time, I swear to you, one time, I think I was covering Seattle at Carolina with Michael Sean Dugar, who works for The Athletic, and we placed a bet, like a $5 bet, over under how many attempts it would take for Winston to throw a pick. I set the line at 8.5. I went over, he went under, and Winston threw a pick on like his first two passes or something like that, like within 2 or 3 passes. But he still threw for 5,000 yards and 30-something touchdowns because they are stacked at receiver and tight end. Tom Brady is going to take great advantage with that. Plus, they went and got Gronkowski again. So even if he's declined, he's still going to put up numbers. I think they won 7 last year with Jameis. You go from 30 interceptions to 10, say, Brady throws, more efficiency overall with those receivers. I think they automatically win 10-11. And they're in the playoffs. We'll see where they go from there, but they're definitely going to make the playoffs.
Aaron Fentress of The Athletic calling his shot there. And by the way, that Winston line is hilarious. Because it's true. Like, I look at Jameis and I think, gosh, he has he makes plays that wow you, right? And for yes. A quarter or a half, you go, this guy could take a team to a Super Bowl. And then he just, for whatever reason, throws 3 picks in 12 attempts.
It's actually incredible, and I do wonder if the LASIK surgery matters. Like, clearly he could see well enough to play football, but I wonder if there was something about his eyesight that would cause him to not quite notice defenders quickly enough, and therefore he would make that bad decision. because everything else is there. If you just made up, and you can do this with a lot of people, but not at the volume of him. But if you took away some of the mind-numbing picks, he is an elite quarterback. The problem is, if you're an elite, talented quarterback, turns the ball over. He also had, what, 12 fumbles? Like, he turns the ball over three times a game. It doesn't matter how good he is because he's just erasing all the good that he does. I still think he's going to mature and become a good quarterback. I think I told your boy James at the I'm surprised James hasn't called me out on this yet since he just – James just signed for $1 million of backup Breeze. But I told him at the Rose Bowl in the media, we were able to – like, you can imagine he and I debating, right? We're debating about this
random thing. You debate anything. You debate a water cooler, okay?
Yeah, exactly. So he's a Tampa Bay fan. I told him, I said, I still think Jameis Winston, when he's done, will win a Super Bowl and or a league MVP. I honestly believe he has that potential if he can fix the decision-making, but a lot of people can't. That's the problem.
Aaron, the Seahawks, where do they fit? What happens to them? They just seemingly, for whatever reason, I expect them to fall off. They come back. They win 10, 12 games a year. They're always hanging around. Are they a contender as long as Pete Carroll's there? Is that the narrative?
They're a playoff contender as long as he's there and Wilson. I don't know if they're a Super Bowl contender. Now, last year they had the one seed for like a hot minute, and they had a chance to win the one seed on the final drive against your 49ers. You know, the Hollister stopped them at the one-inch yard line. They came like 2 inches away from hosting throughout the NFC playoffs as opposed to going to Philly and then having to go to Green Bay. So you say, well, they were right there. But the problem is their defense was suspect last year, especially in the pass rush. They didn't secure Clowney to maybe help propel that. They signed a bunch of pieces to try to fix the pass rush, which is always interesting. But I think their sack total will increase, but they won't have that star in the pass rushing group. I think their star challenged on defense. When they were really good, they had 4 or 5 Pro Bowl caliber guys. Now on defense, you have 2 with Wagner and Griffin. So I do think they need more star power on defense, but you can overcome that with an elite offense. But the problem is they just got rid of half their starting offensive linemen. So now they're going to piece together some new guys who are all cast off from other teams. They have decent ability, but are they upgrades? I don't know. Now, they did add Philip Dorsett. I'm telling you right now, this is my call, my personal man crush. I'm not going to lie. I've always loved Dorsett's talent. I think with Russell Wilson, with his elite speed, I think Wilson will be able to use him to stretch things vertically more. And also, you guys, Metcalf and Lockett. So I do think the passing game will go up a tick. I just wonder if the offensive line is going to protect Wilson enough to get them over the hump with their defense being suspect.
I think that has been a question. Hasn't that been a question year after year? Like, you know, I watch Russell Wilson kind of run for his life, and then they invest so much money in him that's kind of the position they're in.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's another thing. We just had a little mini debate in a post that me and Michael Sean did, and one of the questions was, does Russell's contract make it tougher for them to contend? And Michael's saying, he thinks that's ridiculous, and I think that it's kind of math, really, and basic logic. They're increasing the amount they're paying him from $22 million to $13 million. That's an entire player. That's Clowney. So basically, you lose the opportunity to sign another $10 million-plus guy because Russell Wilson got a raise. Well, that obviously hurts your roster. Now, you can try and draft your way out of that, but the challenge is because you're still good, you're drafting late in each round, right? So it's harder to get impact players the later you draft in any round. That's just, again, it's math, it's probability. And now you don't have as much money to spend to go fill those holes. So unless they can, you know, make some very deft moves that allow them to play at an elite level despite having stars, they're going to have Russell Wilson carry everything. And I just don't know if he's that good. Now, the Seahawks fans will kill me for saying this, and they think he is the greatest quarterback to ever walk the earth. But I think he's great, but not a carry me on my back. I'll take whatever the defense has to give me, and I'll outscore the other team type of quarterback. I just don't think he's a Manning or a Brady who have done that at times in their career.
I don't know. He's such a winner, though. I mean, as a Niner fan, he terrifies me. If there's, you know, 2 minutes left, he's got the ball. You just know he's going to matter, or it's coming to the one-yard line.
Yeah, he's a threat to do it. But, you know, when they won the Super Bowl, he was making $500K. Now he's making $35 million.
Yeah.
And he's never won an MVP. He was in the running last year. He's shown us that he can make miraculous plays to win games. He's never shown us that he can carry his team, you know, to the conference championship and into the Super Bowl. So, I mean, I'm not saying he can't, but it's going to be tough. We'll see.
Aaron Fentress of The Athletic. You stay safe, man. Keep doing what you do.
You too. Take care.
There he is. Good stuff from Fentress. Always good. And he could argue with a water cooler. Not kidding. We should bring him on for the Culligan water cooler report later in the show. He's made for it. Fentress and I used to drive to Duck games, Beaver games. I'd give him a ride. There, we'd go through periods. I don't know if you have a friend like this. Fascinating conversation. Riveting. Great. Get to about Salem, and I'm like, you know what? No more talking. 15 miles, no talking. We need a moratorium. Leave it here. The Big Splash is coming up. I don't want to go a whole hour without hearing Alabama Adriana's voice, nor do you. How you doing?
I was just thinking about that.
KFC's entering the chicken sandwich wars. You on board with this?
No.
They do chicken, though. This is their thing.
Yeah, but they just shouldn't. They shouldn't do the chicken sandwich thing.
They should say we're above that. That's for the others.
I don't even think that they're above it. I think they're below it.
You think so?
I think Popeyes is better.
Oh, they do chicken, though. It's in their name.
That's what Popeyes does, too.
Chicken. What about Pizza Hut? They're giving away 500,000 pizzas to graduates. You going to get one?
Maybe.
It's a free pizza.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm going to look into that. All right, we'll be celebrating your graduation, I think, beginning Friday, and we're gonna give you all next week. How about that?
That's awesome. Thank you.
We start Friday. For those wanting to wish Alabama Adriana a happy graduation, let's turn this into a positive. Our Big Splash. We do it every day.
This is the one thing you absolutely need to know today.
Look at it. Where? Down there. But
the Big Splash. Brought to you by Sport Clips. Cut the wait. Download the new Sport Clips Haircuts app and check in.
Major League Baseball owners had a conference call today, and they approved an adjusted pay plan that will be presented to the players. It includes a sliding pay scale for an 82-game season that begins without fans on July the 4th. That's interesting. Meanwhile, NBA owners talking about the season return. They say that the season return is on schedule, but also the co-owner of the Denver Nuggets, Tillman Furtado, said it will be without fans. He can promise you that. So there you go, the Big Splash. Games? Game on, looks like. Without fans, most likely. 1 o'clock hour ahead.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.